There was no exploration. There was a lot of capital that was foregone because the company didn't have any money. So what a lot of the last year and about a lot of what 2026 will be about is investing heavily in exploration. About 2 months ago, we put out an announcement that we intend to spend at least $25 million over the course of the next 3 years on exploration. We also have a team that is capable of executing an M&A transaction. And so we have a team. The last 18 months have allowed us to really restructure our balance sheet. We're now about 6 months from being completely debt-free, and we have $25 million in the bank, right? So that side of it, we've demonstrated to be prudent stewards of capital. And why our share price has done well over the course of the last month or so is because in Q4, we added almost $10 million cash to the balance sheet. There's no, you know, there's a lot of monkey business that you can do in any business,
right,
about accounting tricks and things. The one thing that's very tough to fake is how much money do you have in the bank?
Right, right. Dan Barnholden, Luca Mining. What's going on, man?
Thanks for having me, Andy. Happy to be here as always. It's always get a warm welcome here in Atlanta. I think this is my first time visiting you in person here at your home.
Yeah, this is our fourth time meeting you in person, but first time here in Atlanta. To all my viewers and listeners, I am a shareholder. I've been an active shareholder in Luca Mining for the past 2 years. I've kept a core position. I've traded in and out of the stock. Just full disclosure, I've recently bought a lot more in December, the last time you and I spoke, Dan. Dan, let's talk first about the metal prices here. Man, what a run, really, in gold and silver. We had in really all of 25, and then it really had a super spike, what I'd call it, in January. We've had a severe correction, I would say, in silver, but just with the run-up. But then we've had a bounce here. It looks like it's leveling out. Just comment about that. Comment about the metal prices here.
Well, look, I mean, you and I have both been around not just the precious metals market, but financial markets in general. I think, you know, like anything, what goes up has to come down. I don't think that there's ever a straight line. And, you know, I remember many years ago, Rob McEwen used to be ridiculed for saying that gold was going to go to $5,000. And here we are, gold, $5,000. But my personal opinion is that we're probably due for a bit of a reset. I think that the volatility has to fall. You can't have silver trading up and down through a range of 20% in a day. I think that that needs to kind of come out of the market. You know, and maybe it involves a bit of a retrenchment. And I think it's kind of become a little bit detached maybe from fundamentals, and we're starting to trade a bit more on momentum. Not that the fundamentals don't support a high precious metals price, but I think that, you know, we're getting confused between fundamental and momentum. So in my opinion, it's probably a little bit of consolidation. Wouldn't be surprised to see silver trade back into the 50s. But I think that, you know, we've probably set a new floor. You know, are we going to test 120? I don't think in the near term, but, you know, we'll eventually get there. You know, it's this inexorable march of inflation will support the precious metals prices over time.
Right. Yeah, I would agree really with everything you said. But in that, it's really interesting just marrying the stocks with the silver and gold price, especially in the junior market. They've had a run, but they still are not trading relative to these metal prices. Their studies are written on $25, $30, $40 silver, you know, $2,500, $3,000 gold. And here we are at $5,000. So it seems to me, and that's where I position my own portfolio, a great opportunity in the stocks relative to the price.
Well, if you believe the correction's over, then there's extraordinary value here. And I think that also you didn't see, when silver spiked to $120, you didn't see any of the stocks really follow. You know, that was the moment where silver was up four times in the last 12 months, you know, from $30 to $120. And some of the stocks had fabulous runs, but they didn't really I don't think the market for junior metals equities reflected anybody's belief that 120 was going to be a long-term price. And so then when you had this pullback, almost half, you didn't see the stocks fall by half. So they were a bit insulated to the upside, insulated to the downside. I think if the market starts to get some confidence that $75 silver, to your point, we did our budget for 2026 on $35 silver, $3,200 gold. Well, guess what? I don't think anybody's predicting those prices. So our expectations is that for us is we're going to have substantially greater cash flow than budgeted.
Right. And I want to get to that in a second, really, specifically to you. But talk a little bit about what do you see, because you've been in this business so long, what do you see in the sector, like 26 to be the year for? Do you see consolidation in the sector? Do you see money starting to really flow into the sector? Yeah. What? Give me a crystal ball, Dan's crystal ball with that.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, I'm still friendly with a lot of investment bankers, and I hear a lot of people say, this is the year that consolidation's going to start. Well, there was a lot of consolidation in 24, and you saw a lot of these Mexican silver guys get bought out, whether it's MAG, Silvercrest, Gatto. I mean, really everybody that had a great project was bought in 24 or 25. So I think that this notion that M&A has to get started, M&A is started. M&A is going, and you saw, obviously, Eldorado. A little bit of head scratching with Eldorado and Foran,
right,
getting together, but M&A's happening.
Yeah,
right? M&A's always happening, and in an extractive industry, you have to replace your production, you have to replace your reserves, your resources. So I think that that's going to continue on, and I think we're still at a place where it's not M&A for growth's sake, but M&A for strategic merits.
Right.
And so, you know, a great example of that is First Majestic buying Gatto.
Or Contango and Dolly
Varden. As you start to see the more M&A for M&A's sake or M&A for growth's sake, I think that that's where you sort of start to have people scratch their head and sort of say, don't really get that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we're quite there yet. So I think that we will obviously continue to see M&A and consolidation, but that's sort of a feature of the business that's been ongoing. I don't think we're going to see a wild rash of everybody buying everybody. What I do think, though, is you are going to see companies that have production really wondering about where they're going to invest, because there is a window now for windfall profits, whether that's, you know, Kinross, Agnico at the high end, Barrick, Newmont, et cetera. These guys are making money hand over fist. A lot of them are going to be debt free. A lot of them are going to be already paying pretty substantial dividends, buying back stock. And because of how quickly the commodity prices have moved, these companies are making more money than ever before. And so the question then becomes, is it M&A? Is it return of capital? Is it investing back? I mean, I think that that's going to be the theme that management and boards of directors are going to be faced with. And it's a high quality problem, but what do we do with all of our money?
Right. You know what? And I think going back to Luca Mining, I think that's the question you guys, which is what I want to ask you. That's the problem with Luca Mining. You guys are producing. You're producing at high margins here at these levels.
Yep.
What do you do with that money? What's the plan specifically for Luca Mining? Because you just told me, you know, the budgets were written at 35 silver and what, 3,200 ounce gold. There's a lot of spread of where we're at traded today. Yep. So what is really the plan? Walk me through the year here.
So for us, I mean, we are, I'm not going to shy away from it. We're a higher cost producer, obviously, than Agnico, but higher cost producer than a lot of our peers. So that's working great for us right now, because the beta on our margins is great, right? If we're $3,000, which is where we were last quarter, a move from 3,200 to 5,200 is all margin.
Right.
Right. As opposed to somebody who's a $2,000 producer, you know, your margins are tripling rather than up 20 times.
Right.
So that's one. we will have lots of places to spend our money. I mean, Andy, you and I have talked about this company and the two mines that we have. They were starved for capital for the better part of a decade. There was no exploration. There was a lot of capital that was foregone because the company didn't have any money. So what a lot of the last year and about a lot of what 2026 will be about is investing heavily in exploration. About 2 months ago, we put out an announcement that we intend to spend at least $25 million over the course of the next 3 years on exploration. That'll be all funded from cash flow. So we're going to go back, revisit exploration work that should have been done in the early 2010s, and we're finally getting around to it in the late 2020s. Capital investment in our mines. Mm-hmm. We've got lots of areas that we can improve. And then we've got a big expansion program and a big opportunity at Campo Morado, which is going to sort of change the complexion of the asset from really a base metals mine with a very substantial credit on the precious metals side to a precious metals mine. And really that's the look forward for us for 2026, is daylighting what that study will look like. Mm-hmm. And then as we go into 2027, we would expect that we would implement whatever the findings of the study are.
Got it. Are you looking to, we talked about M&A, are you guys looking to expand the company through acquisitions? Comment on that, what you can comment on.
Yeah. So yes, I mean, in the mining business, you're either a buyer or you're a seller, mm-hmm. right? Again, because it's an extractive business, you run through your mineral inventory over time, and we need to figure out, are we a buyer or a seller? And we think right now we would like to be a buyer, and we have an excellent corporate infrastructure that we've put together in Mexico, whether that's our largest shareholder, Javier Reyes. He's got incredible relationships in Mexico, which are very helpful for us on the political front. We've built an incredible team of operators, explorationists, corporate development team that can help us with the due diligence as we're looking at M&A. The ideal thing for us to buy is going to be in Mexico to leverage the corporate infrastructure that we have. And it may need some of our skills to bring it to be successful, to be invest our skills and money into the success of the new asset that we buy. And whether those are the operational skills that we have, the exploration team that we have, our ability to deliver communities, to deliver politicians, and we can bring those relationships with communities, with politicians, and maybe help another company to break a logjam at an asset that they haven't been able to, whether that's on the permitting front, whether that's on the access front, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So what we're looking for is a company or an asset that is in some way deficient in that regard, where we can bring our unique skill set to bear and add value to an asset that we acquire, whether that's an operating mine, a development asset. It will be in Mexico because we think that we're uniquely qualified to bring an asset in Mexico. If I come to you, Andy, with a phone call and say, hey, Andy, we're buying something in Northern Canada, I fully expect you to say,
what are you doing?
The heck do you know?
I'm selling the stock.
And I think a lot of people would.
Right.
Because there's a very obvious question. What the heck do you guys know that, you know, somebody that's already operating, you know, if we had tried to buy Dolly Varden, you would have said to me, what the heck do you know about operating in northwestern BC?
Right.
As opposed to Contango, you mentioned it. I mean, they're in operations in Alaska. Not too much of a stretch to say they'll be great stewards. Those two teams coming together will be great stewards of both assets.
Right, right. Well, talk to me. You know, what's interesting is I was with you as a shareholder when you made the leap, if you would. You're already in production, but really going into a bigger producer, if you would, and a bigger developer.
Yep.
And I would say it was a leap from a really small, unheard of junior mining stock to, I would say you guys have a great reputation and brand now, but you're still a junior mining stock, but still a great reputation and brand. But that took a certain amount of skill set to get where you're at here. I would say, argue, it even takes another skill set to get to the next leap. The next leap is becoming a mid-tier, which I think you already are, but a mid-tier producer. But even just
acquiring more assets, even growing the company, if you would. So talk about that. How are you, how's Luca positioned from a skill set and a leadership position to make that even next leap to, like, say we brought up off camera First Majestic, to make that a leap to that kind of a stage in a company?
Well, look, I think I like to joke, but it's not much of a joke, that I really only have three jobs, right? It's setting strategy, making sure that there's money in the bank, and hiring extraordinary people to do extraordinary work. Mm-hmm. Everything else, other people look after. So first and foremost, how are we going to grow this company? We have developed an extremely close-knit, we like each other. We've built a team that works together and wants to work together. So first and foremost, it's on the exploration side, on the operations side, on the corporate development side, on the finance side. We have built a team that I think is capable of being the team of a bigger company. So I think we're gonna have pretty substantial organic growth in our share price. We also have a team that is capable of executing an M&A transaction. And so we have a team. The last 18 months have allowed us to really restructure our balance sheet. We're now about 6 months from being completely debt-free, and we have $25 million in the bank, right? So that side of it, we've demonstrated to be prudent stewards of capital. And so I think that that puts us in a position where people are starting to trust us, to trust our judgment. You know, I like to say that this company is about the relentless application of common sense, right? It's we're not going to do something. We're not going to acquire something in the Canadian North. We're not going to acquire a $1 billion development asset. We're going to do things that you will call me and say, that makes a lot of sense, and it's exactly what you've been talking about for the last year and a half. And so that's really how we are building this business. We look at a lot of things on the M&A front. We have made a lot of inroads with institutional investors. The investment bankers are calling us all the time, you know, are you interested in raising capital? And we're not, right? Because we don't need it. We can do everything that we want to do at this moment in our business without raising capital.
Nice. That's a good spot to be in. Real quick, just walk us through that what you can talk about. Why should investors be paying attention right now? What I'm trying to get is what news that you can talk about that's going to be hitting over the next quarter or two.
Sure. Well, as we already discussed, we've got a big exploration budget. That will continue. We've got three drills turning at Campo Morado. We've got two at Tawawetto, so
that's
two,
five drills.
So
nice aggression. Love the aggression.
That's going to generate a lot of news, right? We've got an underground at each mine, underground drill at each mine. We've got a surface drill at Tawawetto, and two surface drills at Campo Morado. Lots of drilling. And the drilling, as I said, there was a 10-year hiatus where there was no drilling done. So there's lots of exploration work that can be done, and we're very excited about it. Devoting a big budget to it, and you know, we've built a really good exploration team. Number two, and you and I have talked a lot about this, but it's getting more and more and more real, is this pivot at Campo Morado from a polymetallic mine to a much greater focus on precious metals. We've talked about how there are higher grade untapped ore bodies at Campo Morado. We're proving those out through drilling. And that's the El Rey deposit, and that's the Reforma deposit that are to the northeast of our current mining zones. But, you know, they're approximate. They're a kilometer, kilometer and a half away. So it's sort of the next pod, ore pod, up the trend. And those pods happen to be higher grade precious metals. So we are, the last bunch of exploration work that we've done have demonstrated the higher grade nature of those ore bodies. We're doing metallurgical test work on those ore bodies now to figure out. Right now we're only getting at our existing mining operations 25% of the gold, 40% of the silver.
Okay.
We think that through the application of very conventional technology, it'll include ultra fine grind. So right now we're at about 15, we're gonna try and go sub 10.
Wow.
And that's, but again, conventional technology, we're gonna be applying that. We're gonna look to, liberate the gold through ultra fine grind. So the goal here over the course of the first 8 or 9 months of 2026 is to sort of corral all that information and deliver a study to the market, ideally before the Colorado mining shows, that we have, that we can deliver all of that information to the market and really demonstrate the potential of these ore bodies to be much more profitable than the areas that we're mining right now. That's the big prize for this, and that's why you want to be a shareholder over the course of the next 9 months.
Got it. So we got drill results coming out, and then the new study coming out.
Yep.
Okay, they'll be out sometime late summer, early fall.
Yep. Okay. And then obviously just keep watching for execution. I mean, one of your investors here was talking to me earlier, and it's really about the one thing that can't be faked is cash.
Yeah.
Right? So
Briex.
Kidding. Well, look, kidding. We had a downturn in the second half of 2025 in our share price, right? Mm-hmm. You and I talked about it off air.
I bought to all my viewers. I really did. Go ahead.
Because we had a couple of quarters where we underperformed and we missed, right?
Right.
We think that we've turned that around, and why our share price has done well over the course of the last month or so is because in Q4 we added almost $10 million cash to the balance sheet. There's no, you know, there's a lot of monkey business that you can do in any business,
right,
about accounting tricks and things. The one thing that's very tough to fake is how much money do you have in the bank?
Right, right.
And so I would say more than anything is investors should watch how the cash balance looks and how our money is getting spent. How much is going towards paying down debt? How much is going into exploration? How much is going into CapEx that's required? How much is going into organic growth? Mm-hmm. Right? And we think that we can finance all of that from existing mining operations.
It's music to my ears.
And continue to grow our cash balance.
Yeah, it's music to my ears as a shareholder. Well, Dan, people want to know more information about you. How do they find you? What's your website? What exchanges are you traded on?
Yeah, so for your listeners here in Atlanta, LUCMF on the OTC. In Canada, LUCA, LUCA, easy to remember. The website, lucamining.com. And you know, we've got a very responsive investor relations team, so feel free to drop us a line at info@lucamining.com.
Yeah, thanks, Dan. Looking forward to having you back in Atlanta. Yeah, really
love
seeing
it
you
here.
Again. Yeah,
absolutely.
All right, thank you so much, guys. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you on the next one.